It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
All right. Hello, hello. Welcome, one and all. It's Thursday, September the 14th, 2023. It's 32 degrees outside here in Austin, Texas, but I'm still inside because I've still got COVID-19, so
I'm hanging out
inside. Yesterday was a bit of a technical problem. I don't know. I was using my computer, as I am now, and it was connected, or saying I was connected, as it is now. But, alas, no one was hearing the show, and when I went to the website, indeed, no one was hearing the show. So, we're trying again. I'm going to go over to Calm and check, make sure people can hear the show. And if so, we'll talk about the news. We got a bunch of news to talk about. Just pull up the browser real quick. And tell me if I'm wrong, but somebody on Lemmy had asked, why is there a time indicator in the ISO 8601 format? And my answer that I was going to post was just that it's simply because ISO 8601 is a date, international date format. So time is an add-on to the date format. It can represent time, but it doesn't default to representing time, I guess. Anyway, to get to COM, which is Commode Chat, what you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org. Put my glasses on, SSH over, so SSH. Once you SSH over, you'll want to launch COM, that's Commode Chat. So you just type COM, and you'll press G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word. And when you hit enter, you will land in the Anon Radio room and be hanging out with cool people like Stug and P. Burnick and WX Boss. These are people I haven't seen before. Welcome, welcome. Publius is in the house. X1 is here. Zero Hoff and Ratsu. All right. Hey, the whole crew is here. X1 is here. All right. Publius is in the house. That's exciting. So that's very cool. I'm glad we're all here. And yeah, I don't know. It's a little frustrating yesterday. So glad we're all here. it's amazing how it's amazing what load sickness puts on your what sickness puts on your overall processing power. All of a sudden you're just like, oh hey, it's also slowing. I guess it's slowing down your main processor. That's what it is. It's not that there's a load. It's just that it slows you down, I guess. Anyway. Well, it's exciting because I think, Publius, you might care about this. So we'll start with this because it's from France. So it might as well. I think we'll have a fun time talking about this. France, the home of the fans of nuclear power, the radiation-friendly green energy powerhouse that also has trouble with Muslims, has problem with iPhone 12s. Apple is facing a ban on the sale and potential recall of its iPhone 12 in France as the U.S. company contests a report that the smartphone exceeds radio frequency exposure limits by the nation's regulator. Apple said on Wednesday its iPhone 12 was certified by multiple international bodies as compliant with global radiation standards. Disputing tests by the French ANFR, that's Alpha November Foxtrot Romeo watchdog, that said that the model emits more EMF susceptible to be absorbed by the body than permitted. The watchdog said it had found that the phone's specific absorption rate, or SAR, measure of the energy absorbed by the body, was 5.74 watts per kilogram during tests, simulating the phone being held in the hand or kept in a pocket. The EU standard for SAR is 4.0 watts per kilogram in such tests. The regulator noted the handset complied with multiple other SAR tests it conducted as part of its recent tests on 141 iPhones. There's a question if Apple found a way to cheat the tests the way that Volkswagen did. And Thrig came up with a fun little term, iDiesel. And X1 is now selling tinfoil underwear for all the people who may be carrying around an iPhone 12 in their pocket. Apple said that it was engaging with the regulator and that it presented multiple internal and independent lab results showing the devices were in compliance. Regulators in a number of countries have various limits on the amount of EMF radiation mobile phones may emit to prevent adverse health effects. Handsets are tested for compliance by artificially setting them to their maximum broadcast strength for the various radios they contain, with the output measured in numerous tests to simulate being held in a hand or in a trouser pocket, in a bag or a jacket, and up to the head for taking calls. The results show the upper limit the phone can reach under its most severe operating conditions. The WHO, the World Health Organization, states on its website that after a large number of studies, no adverse health effects have been established as being caused by mobile phone use. Jean-Noël Barrot, the French junior minister for the digital economy, said a software update would be sufficient to fix the radiation issues linked to the phone. Apple's expected to respond within 2 weeks. If they fail to do so, I'm prepared to order a recall of all iPhone 12s in circulation. The rule is the same for everyone, including the digital giants. And then if they do choose to upgrade their phones, it'll be verified by the ANFR. Apple announced the iPhone 15 on Monday, and it adopted the USB-C charging connector. So, anyway, that's what's going on there with that. Publis pointing out, frankly, if the phone is radiating at the power level, it becomes hot enough to burn, as I can attest from experience. I'd say that I use my phone pretty regularly, and it does get warm when you use the radios, especially when you're having to broadcast at high power. But if you're... What is it? I could see... Can you imagine what this will drive, though? It's like, oh, you know what? We don't want people to put phones up to their heads. So now there's no... Can you imagine a phone with no speaker? It's like, no, you have to use headphones. It's like... You could imagine all kinds of interesting possibilities when that happens. But yeah, with limited reception, the RF amp will go to its top power. I've experienced that too, especially in rural areas. It the phone can get really hot. So, anyway, power is just a configuration setting in the radio. So we'll see. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. Also. I had it as a news story yesterday, but I screwed up or whatever happened. We didn't get a chance to it. So I wanted to mention this because this is something about the IAEA that I think is critically important. Member states of the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, owe more than 200 million euro. And Director General Rafael Grossi has warned that unless payments are made in a month's time, we will run out of money. I will not be able to pay salaries or the lights. We will be grinding to a halt. The IAEA is going to be out of money. It just blows my mind. Before getting on the substance of a statement to the IAEA board, covering issues including the ongoing work in Ukraine and Fukushima and the new Atoms for Food initiative, Grossi said he had to start with the urgent financial situation because he found it contradictory that we talk about so many important things, we don't know whether we're going to be able to open the shop in 1 month. 44% of member states were in arrears, including the major donors, and he said that what made it even more frustrating was that he'd been in touch with the United Nations Secretary in New York, with other agencies and global institutions, and no one is in a situation like us. So we need commitment soon, so we can continue doing what we're supposed to be doing. He added at the start of a week-long Board of Governors gathering in Vienna, Austria. He thanked the U.S. ambassador for allowing us to use some money in a creative way to make it for this month. I hope that others can do that as well. But the real thing, the fundamental thing, is that we cannot continue to say that we support this agency when we don't pay for its activity. It's as simple as that. Adams for Food, Publius says in all caps. Oh, sing it like the YMCA. I-A-E-A. Yeah, we all need the I-A-E-A-A. They keep us from blowing up and make sure nothing goes wrong. And they keep us from glowing at night. Yeah, and at the I-A-E-A. But yeah, I'm not sure how they make food without Adams. But anyway, that was a nuclear update. While we're in the health and science section, I wanted to mention, a little late for me, but the FDA has approved the updated Moderna and Pfizer COVID boosters. New COVID boosters from Pfizer and Moderna designed to target the XBB.1.5 subvariant have been approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and are expected to be made available later this week. Health officials say the CDC will now sign off on it amid rising cases of COVID in the U.S. Who knew? Who knew? From August to September, August 27th to September 2nd, there were 18,871 hospitalizations. That's unfortunate. Publius pointing out he has to wait because he's going to have surgery soon. I have to wait because, hey, I'm going to have a boost. I'm getting a booster right now by having to deal with this crap. All right, so I just wanted to point it out because stuff like that happening is interesting. All right, so let's get to the death and destruction. Or I guess what we used to call it.
World news.
All right, so... wrong window pulled up. Did anybody have any comment on that ISO 8601? I think I'm going to just say that ISO 86 is a date format that may include to you. Alright, sorry, I spaced out. I'm sick, sorry. Alright. Yeah, I like to do biggest to smallest. Year, 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 month, month, day, day. That's how I like to do my dates. That way, especially with the team that's spread out across different regions and countries and stuff, everyone can understand year, month, day, and it's not confusing. Alright. The other common formats are Middle Indian. I always get a fun kick out of the Indian. Alright, here we go. Rogue Russian pilot tried to shoot down RAF aircraft in 2022. That's Romeo Alpha Foxtrot. A Russian pilot tried to shoot down an RAF surveillance plane after believing he had permission to fire, the BBC has learned. The pilot fired two missiles, the first of which missed rather than malfunctioned. Russia had claimed the incident last September was caused by a technical malfunction. The UK's Ministry of Defense, MOD, publicly accepted the Russian explanation. But now three senior Western defense sources with knowledge of the incident have told the BBC that Russian communications intercepted by the RAF RC-135, that's Romeo Alpha Foxtrot, Romeo Charlie, 135, Rivet, joint aircraft gave a very different account from the official version. X1 pointing out mandate ISO 8061 output date time and 8601 format equals date for date only, hours, minutes, seconds, or NS for date and time to the indicator. the person asking online was asking why is it 8601 compliant to just say T, capital T, and then the time. Why do you have to put time since colon isn't a separator for dates? Yeah, it's one of those. Yeah, I like that format too, JLMO. Alright, so anyway, apparently the plane believed it had permission to fire, and so he shot at the jet but missed. So fortunately he missed, because if he hadn't, it would have been one of those, what's the word, acts of war. we would have been fighting Russia in 2022 directly, not by proxy. About 7,000 migrants have arrived on Lampedusa Island in the past 2 days. When we talk about all the migrants dying in the Mediterranean, a lot of them, instead of trying to go to Spain, a lot of them used to try to get to Spain, and some were trying to get to Greece. But the new hotspot, the new spot a lot of people are trying to get to, is this Italian island called, hey, welcome, Maxine, Lampedusa. The tiny Italian island of Lampedusa struggled Thursday to cope with a surge in migrant boats from northern Africa after numbers peaked at 7,000 people, equivalent to the entire local population. Can you imagine if you're sitting in your hometown, like my hometown has 4,000 people, if I'm sitting there and a bunch of boats pulled up and 5,000 people got off, it's like there's more people here, more people showed up on boats than live here. I'm sorry, y'all. That's too much. Too much. What could they possibly do? The local reception center was built to house fewer than 400. Tensions broke out as food was being distributed by the Red Cross, and police had to intervene. Some young men later left the crowded center and went into the historic town center, where they were queuing for ice cream. Several said they were hungry, few had any money, and some restaurants turned them away, but others offered them food for free, or residents and tourists paid for them. It's 90 miles off the coast of Tunisia, so it's the closest spot. It's kind of like people from Cuba going to the Keys, you know? This is a critical situation because they've become a hot spot, and it's a tiny little island. They don't have any resources. The government keeps trying to deal with it. Almost 124,000 migrants have arrived on the shore this year, 65,000 from last year. In 2016, 181,000 people arrived. So, who knows what will happen here, you know? It's one of those interesting things, I think, because the West destabilized the Middle East to... The West destabilized these countries. For whatever purpose you may, you know, want to believe, kind of helped destabilize these things to benefit economically. But now it's like, oh no, they're coming. Oil. Thrig points out oil. It's a terrible, terrible fate. Oh, Maxine pointing out, so 10 people decide on the fate of dozens of thousands, and life is shit. Publi is pointing out a lot of these countries were not ever stable at all to begin with. Yeah, they weren't necessarily stable, but they weren't actively on fire, I think, is the problem. The Syrian civil war is really what's, I think, has been driving a lot. If everyone would just move out of Syria to Europe all at once, we could just get it all done with. But anyway, it's just a bit of a tragedy that's going on right now, because there's horrible stuff going on in Europe, and then we've got South America coming up to the United States. So anyway, so speaking of Tunisia, Tunisia's banned a delegation from the European Parliament from entering its territory, provoking strong reactions from the European Parliament members, some of whom have called for suspension of the migration agreement between the EU and Tunis. Signed with great fanfare in July, This partnership is notably supposed to reduce the number of migrants leaving the coast in exchange for European aid of several hundred million euros. The delegation, made up of five MEPs, included three French, was to go to Tunis on Thursday to better understand the current political situation and take stock of the agreement. Led by the German Michael Gahler, EPP Christian Democrat, that's Echo Papa Papa, comma, Christian Democrat. I think these are political parties. Maybe Publius can throw out. Let's see. She was to meet members of civil society, trade unionists, and representatives of the opposition. In a letter addressed to the EU delegation, which AFP was able to consult, the Tunisian authorities limit themselves to indicating that these deputies of the Foreign Affairs Committee to the European Parliament will not be authorized to enter the national territory. This attitude is unprecedented since the Democratic Revolution of 2011. The delegation demanded a detailed explanation. The Socialists and Democrats group in the European Parliament immediately called for immediate suspension of the migratory partnership. A commission spokesman questioned the impact the Tunisian decision expressed surprise on Thursday. Let's see, the French were surprised. I'm trying to see what the action was. Tunisia is, along with Libya, the main departure point for thousands of migrants. Ms. von der Leyen went to Tunis on the occasion of signing of the agreement, accompanied by the heads of government of Italy, Giorgia Meloni, and Dutch Mark Rutte. After the 2015 migration crisis, EU countries concluded an agreement with Ankara aimed at curbing the arrival of migrants to Europe, in return for 6 billion euros. Publius comes in. Christian Democratic Union is a German political party. EPP presumably stands for European Parliamentary Party. Ah, thank you. Sorry, I wasn't sure. Oh, and X1 pointing out GNU Herd, not the rolling release, but the stable version. I don't know where that came from, so we'll just go with it. Hey, welcome, Theo. Welcome, welcome. All right, it's 1923, which makes me want to tell you that it's 2023 in real life, but 1923 UTC, which means the Dubious Goals Committee with Toba Fun show that airs every goddamn day right here on and on radio at 1930 UTC, is coming up. Hold on, let me see if I, where's my... Let me try this.
Listening to a non-radio powered by SDF. SDF, well, that's powered by you, my friend. So thank you for being here and tuning in. Stick around at 1930 UTC is the Dubious Goals Come to with Tope, a fun show that airs every goddamn day right here at 1930 UTC.
All right. I recorded that so I wouldn't say it over and over or get lost in the middle. all right. Thanks, Theo. Welcome. I normally don't sound like this. I've got the disease, so I'll be better soon, I hope. Senator Mitt Romney is retiring and has urged Joe Biden and Donald Trump to retire too, or stand aside for 2024. U.S. Senator and former presidential hopeful Mitt Romney has called for Donald Trump and Joe Biden to stand aside and make room for a new generation of politicians. He made remarks while speaking to the media about his own plans to retire. Mitt Romney is 76 years old and has a 20-year career in politics, including a stint as governor of Massachusetts. yeah, I've got the sickness, down with the sickness. I've got the COVID-19. down with the disease. The disease. What else is happening? There's other news. Let's see. We got 5 minutes to go. Let's talk about police corruption and corruption of governments, because that's something that always gets my blood boiling, and then that'll get me fired up enough to cook lunch, probably a hamburger, so I can keep it up high where it is hot. First, in Spain, this is a sexual assault story. Just a heads up. One of five men convicted of gang rape in Spain's notorious Wolfpack case has had his sentence cut under botched rape legislation that was introduced after a storm of protests over the 2016 case. The men attacked an 18-year-old woman at Pamplona's bull running festival, filmed it, and shared images of the attack on a WhatsApp group called La Manada, or the Wolfpack. The case shocked Spain, sparked national protests, and led to the passage of the Only Yes is Yes rape law, which focused on gaining explicit consent. However, the law contained a loophole that set lighter minimum sentences for certain sexual crimes, the result of merging the crimes of sexual abuse and aggression. So far, 1,155 sex offenders have secured sentence reductions, of which 117 have been released from prison. So a really bummer kind of thing, right? So the loophole of the law meant the legislation admitted some convicted criminals. Even though this amendment was later changed, the most favorable criminal disposition benefits the defendant. In April, Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez apologized for the harm caused to the victims of sexual offenses. And so the lawyers are all very, all the lawyers and lawmakers are very sorry, that they did this. So, the ruling of the court can be appealed in the Supreme Court, but for now, over 100 men who have sexually assaulted people have been let go or had their, and more have had their stuff reduced, which is pretty shocking and upsetting. Let's see, Feo. Is it Feo or Feo? Because Feo in Spanish is ugly. I don't know if that's what you, what, I don't want to say it if it's wrong. Let me know how to say your name in chat if you want. Let's see, X1 saying, inject bleach and monitor the bubbles. And pointing out, Mitt Romney is kind of an enigma in certain ways. I actually think he thinks he's a politician with integrity, and occasionally that makes him do something downright common sense. But then usually he's a bog-standard Republican. Yeah. Feo. Okay, I'll say Feo. Thank you. Theo. Thank you, Theo. That's a good add-in. So, yeah, Romney is an oddity for sure. I think that he's a very faithful Mormon, and so he follows his belief really closely. So, while it's not always great, while it's not necessarily always the stance I agree with, it always seems to be very principled. Oh, man, we don't have a lot of time, so I gotta tell you this because this is outrageous. A Seattle cop ran over somebody, and then they joked about it on the radio as she lay there dying. An investigation's underway over body cam footage that appears to show a Seattle police officer laughing about a woman fatally struck by a patrol car. Officer Daniel Otterer, so not the guy that hit the guy, there's one cop that ran over a lady, and then his friend on the radio is laughing about it. So the friend is who's in trouble because he was laughing about it, not the person who ran the lady over. Tell me why this is the state we're in. Police can just kill people with the and joke about it, and they get more in trouble for joking about murdering people than the actual murder of people. Anyway, Officer Daniel Otterer was responding to an incident where Janavi Kandula, 23, was killed near her university. In the video, the officers heard suggesting the Indian student's life had limited value and the city should just write a check. The officer has said his comments were taken out of context. Ms. Kandula, a graduate student at Northern University Seattle's campus, was hit and killed by a police car while crossing the street on January 23rd. She was killed by a cop, and then the responding cop joked about how they should just write a check because, here's the quote, $11,000. She was 26 anyway. She had limited value. It's just a regular person. Just write a check, he says, before laughing again.